mama made across the floor. Says she right on out the door and into the glade, and everybody promenade.
You're tuned to the Square Dance Radio Network. Today is Wednesday, March 21st, 2012.
And you're listening to the Do-Si-Do Show, episode number 38.
Hi, I'm your host, Dale Hodge from Columbia, Maryland.
And I'm Barb Jarvis from Wheeling, Illinois. Hello, Dale, and hello, Square Dance community. Today we're pleased to present the third part of our interview with Roy and Betsy Gatta from New Jersey.
Yeah, this has been a lot of fun getting to know more about Roy and Betsy and getting to know a lot more about the history.
Mm-hmm. I think we'll get to talk to them today about some things I didn't know too much about, like the arts and you too can dance.
Yep, very good. So what did you do this past weekend?
I had a free and easy weekend. I had a weekend all to myself. We had choir practice and handbell practice and choir in church, but the rest of the weekend I just spent with my mom and had a good time with her.
Wonderful.
How about you, Dale?
I called in Wilmington, Delaware, called an advanced dance. Very fun. Got to tell all of my Irish jokes, one before each tip.
There you go.
And it's always fun because if you're working with a group that doesn't know you, they've not heard them before.
Right. And wasn't it hard to sight call because of all the green that was out there?
There was a lot of green. It was Friday. Saturday, we got a chance to drive through my town I lived in when I was in high school. Saturday evening, we went to Reading, Pennsylvania, and saw the show Man of La Mancha, my best friend from college, Kevin. Sunday, we got to come back home and had dinner with friends and watch some NCAA basketball.
Sounds like a full weekend. You're ready for a restful work week, I hope.
Restful work week, if only. Yeah. So who'd you like to say hello to today?
Shout out to a special friend, Joel Mozak, a square dance acquaintance of mine. He and his wife have not danced for a while, but he's having some hard time medically. So I wanted to say hi to Joel and that we're all thinking of you out here. So
good.
Get well. And you?
To old friends. I got to see several old friends and reminisce about some old friends and some locations. It's odd. I can't remember my 10th grade English teacher's name, but I can remember the exact spot on the road where the driver's ed teacher said, okay, gun it. Well, at this point, let's go ahead and dive right back into our interview with Roy and Betsy Gatta out of New Jersey. One of the things that you had mentioned was the National Convention and giving back. Can you talk about your view of the National Convention and when you go? Are there specific things other than just the pleasure of dancing and seeing friends again? Are there specific things that you try to do while you're there?
Dancing? Do we dance at the National? Once in a while.
One of the things, we try to, one, visit all of the halls. Some people, they'll go and they'll just, well, I want to get as much advanced dancing as I can, or this or that, but we try and visit all of the halls.
We participate in different education things because of what we're involved in. And sometimes that may impact on their ability to schedule me for calling.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be frustrating, but that's part of the National. An important part is that they, you know, is the education. And there have been clubs in this area that have folded not because of lack of dancers or lack of treasury, but because of lack of people willing to do any officer job.
Mm-hmm.
And if people go through the education at a National, maybe they'll feel more able to take on a role, a leadership role.
Mm-hmm.
So that, to me, is an important thing. And the Caller Lab seminars for the, you know, training calling callers is a very important thing to me. Again, because I'm not always going to be here. Somebody else needs to be able to pick up the microphone and continue calling if this activity is going to go on.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things Betsy's been doing recently is when we go to a National, she'll see who's there, you know, look at the list of the callers, and a lot of times she'll know in advance. And any of the ones who've been to her caller school or her callers, she'll make an effort if she's not calling somewhere else to go listen to them, one, to give them support, and two, just to see how they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and it's funny because I know that probably walking into the room, I've just scared them out of their shoes. but I want to be there to show support. So it's like, okay, well, I hurt their performance by walking in. Maybe if I hide over here.
You know, it's like when Betsy was first venturing into challenge, and she'd be at a national convention, and all of a sudden Mike would be, he wouldn't come into the room. He would stand in the doorway.
And, oh,
yeah.
Well, you can edit that remark.
And but then eventually she got over that and could get to the point where, yeah, take that, Mike.
Right. One of the things I think you were mentioning about the national convention was that it was a good opportunity for callers in general to give back.
Yeah.
Because this is not a paid position, is that right?
Right. Yeah, all of the callers at the national convention are volunteers. And consequently, how can I say this tactfully? Not all the callers at the national convention are in the
national spotlight.
The festival standard, and they don't spend a lot of time in the national spotlight, so they're very happy to sign up and grab whatever places they can get,
mm-hmm.
which may or may not lead to a good dancing experience for the all of the dancers, unless they get some other people who are willing to forego a paying gig to lend their expertise.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm trying to basically say that not all the callers who sign up are really good.
Yeah, but that's okay, you know, because my husband used to say, you need to listen to a bad caller once in a while to appreciate a good one.
Well, the thing is, yeah, but if it's all the bad callers,
no,
none
of
the good
not,
ones come,
then
it would cease to be fun, and that would impact on the attendance, and that would impact the convention.
Yeah, it'll drill itself into the ground.
Yeah, so you need that mix, and you need the people who are willing and able, and not everybody is able every year to pay their money to go to the national convention.
But I guess I'm trying to encourage the dancers to support this because, one, they'll meet some new callers.
Oh, yeah.
And two, the callers, we want the good callers to come so they can be seen and the people there can have a good time.
Exactly. And that's it. It's an important thing to meet the local callers and the newer callers. And it's an important thing to see, oh, wow, I've heard of this person. Ooh, or, excuse me, or some of the international callers.
Right.
You're not going to get, in your average dancing program at home, you're not going to get an opportunity to dance to somebody from Japan or Germany or some other overseas country.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really cool. Mm-hmm. And if the dancers don't go, then they never have these opportunities.
Right. And especially if these people are spending all their money to come
mm-hmm.
here for this event and not getting paid for it.
Right. Well, it's not only that callers don't get paid for it. We pay the same registration fees as everybody else and travel fees and everything.
Wow.
They do not even comp us the entry fee.
So we pay to perform.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, it's worth it, and you know, there's the whole interaction thing, and sometimes it's a tough sell to some of the cities. Like it was really a tough sell to get people to go to Detroit last year.
And it's a shame because it was a really nice convention.
You know, but it's like because we'd been to that area before, and we explained to people the area where they're having the convention in Detroit. It's very similar to, say, the Inner Harbor in Baltimore, in that, yeah, it's a very nice area, but just don't go outside that area.
Right, yeah.
And it was the same way in what they call the Renaissance area in Detroit. And they had a nice kind of monorail public transport system running between the hotels and the convention center. And it was a wonderful convention center, lots of places to eat, you know, it was a very well-run convention. It's just unfortunate that there were probably just right around 4,000 dancers.
Mm.
So, but it's, you know, it's like, you know, it's the premier event of our activity.
Yeah.
It should be supported.
Good point. All right, okay. We're going to switch gears a little bit now,
yep.
And we're going to talk about fun with names. So with your last name being Gada, we can use this for a lot of things. Can you tell us about some of them?
Well, you know, of course, our email address, you know, with You Gotta Dance, and our web, you know, our website is Gotta Dance, and fan badges, fan dangles say You Gotta Believe.
That's partly because of the name and partly because I used to tell people in lessons that they had to believe in themselves. I think one of the biggest factors in new dancers is, you know, having trouble is they're not sure. And so they don't trust themselves. And I kept telling them they had to believe they were doing it right. They were doing it right. Now they had to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody went out, got some big badge and wrote it on paper and put it over some other badge. And that's how that was born.
That's cute.
Yeah. It was actually, I believe, a... and which hurts me to say it, but it was a Mets, New York Mets slogan one year. It was a, you know, it had a Gotta Believe.
Uh-huh.
And so
Roy's not a big fan of the Mets.
I could tell.
Well, yeah, being a South Jersey boy, you know, you root for the Phillies. But and of course growing up, you gotta what, gotta go, gotta this, and we've seen it on flyers where you got to come to this dance and that type of stuff. So,
mm-hmm. But you got to dance.
Cute.
And but the whole got to dance thing has worked very well for us. And of course, it was also the I think slogan for Capizio shoes.
I think so. Yeah.
Ah.
And there's a couple of actual dance studios that say something like that.
There's a dance studio probably 20 miles from us that I think it says Gotta Dance Studio.
Did you sue them?
No. Because I'd be afraid they'd win. I'm not taking any chances, any lawsuits. No, they're not. You know, this is my name. I have the right to use my name. I'm not bringing it to anyone's attention.
Yeah,
I think it's in the public domain. Which musical was that from? Gotta Dance.
Yeah.
On the Town.
So.
Might have been. Might have been there.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I think it was On the Town with Gene Kelly and... But anyway.
We have a section that we call Superlatives. And so we'd like to ask you a couple of questions in here. I know you've received a number of awards, Milestone Award, Golden Boot. Can you talk a little bit about the awards you've received and your work toward those? I mean, not that you worked toward them, but the work that you did that ended up with you receiving those awards and the ceremonies and whatnot.
Okay, well, the Golden Boot was first, and that was at the gay convention in Vancouver. Not the one that's coming up, but several years ago,
mm-hmm.
2001. And basically, what the Golden Boot is, it's a service award for the IAGSDC, the International Association of Gay Square Dance Clubs. But it's not presented by the association. It's presented by individuals or whoever got the award chooses the next person to be to get the award and chooses a gift. And so now the man who had the award the year before me, he and I had strategized. He was from the Washington, D.C. area. And basically what happened was what New Jersey had square dance conventions for a while in the 90s. And we got visited by Times Squares. And when I was working with Times Squares, which I still am, they were going to come out to the convention. Some of them were very scared because, of course, in the 90s, there was still a whole lot more worry about how we were going to get AIDS and who had AIDS and who was doing what. And there's a general discomfort by a lot of straight men dancing with gay men, mm-hmm. if they know if it's the same-sex couple, mm-hmm. at least back then. So we strategized, and I remembered something I had seen in the 1960s. Dallas, Texas National Convention 1965. For some reason, and of course that was the year of Martin Luther King Jr.'s march from Selma to Montgomery for civil rights. Okay, for some reason, African American people from the clubs in Detroit or Chicago, and I don't remember which, decided that was the year they were going to go to the National Convention in Dallas, Texas. It could have been a disaster, except that they were exceedingly smart. They never, ever completed a square unless they were invited by all members of the square to join the couples that were already there.
Oh.
They started squares. Mm-hmm. And therefore, the people who went to dance with them, who completed the squares, knew who they were dancing with and were comfortable, and no one was put on the spot.
Beautiful.
And so that was the strategy that I gave to the Times Squares people when they first ventured out to the New Jersey State Convention. And consequently, it took a couple years, but they were well enough received, they would rent a bus and bring a large contingent.
Mm-hmm.
And they were comfortable. And some of the people from DC Lambda came up, and they were like, wow, this is really great. And unfortunately, when some of the people from Lambda went to WASCA the first time, it wasn't so comfortable. And this man, and I'm not mentioning his name deliberately because I know he's not listed on the list of who gets the golden boot, so he may not want his name in public.
Mm-hmm.
But he was one of the leaders and was invited by the WASCA board to determine whether or not the gay community would be allowed to come and same-sex couples and blah, 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 blah. And he and I spent time on the phone strategizing about what to say, what to do, what should we respond to this, et cetera. So it was kind of basically because I was interested in trying to make sure the gay square dance community could easily visit and be comfortable with the straight square dance community and make sure that the straight square dance community was also comfortable with the visit, that I ended up getting the golden boot.
Nice.
Basically, and that was one of the conventions that I wasn't able to go. I was so angry because I didn't know she was getting the award. That was my first year as the varsity head baseball coach at the school where I was teaching. And even though it was spring break, we still had two games scheduled during the week. And both of them got rained out.
Oh, after all that.
Yeah, after all that. So, the way I remember the theme of the presentation was for her efforts to, I lost the word in just a second there. Her efforts to bridge the gap between gay and straight square dance communities.
Nice, very nice.
So that was what the golden boot was for.
Now you have to understand where I'm coming from. I'm sitting at a table toward the back of the room with friends of mine from Philadelphia, and I was contemplating the I think it was the kiwi fruit and whether or not I wanted to eat the kiwi fruit. And I wasn't paying a lot of attention to the speech because I just didn't think it would pertain to me.
Yeah.
So basically, it took quite a long time for me to get up and out of my seat because I was busy going, no.
What? Me?
No. No.
And the thing is, she had been doing this for years. Tell them part of your, quote, acceptance speech about your efforts at the Rutgers, Activities Day.
Activities Day, yes.
This goes years ago.
I just never gave it a thought. Years and years ago, when Rutgers Promenaders was on campus, the university had an activities day where the freshmen could come through and look at all, a table where manned by people from various clubs to see what extracurricular activities they might want to become involved with. And somehow, and this is back in the early 70s, the Rutgers Promenaders Square Dance Club was right next to, you came down one long row of tables and turned the corner. The last table on the first row was the Homophile Society, which is what they called it. at that point in time. And we turned the corner and it's the promenaders. And so basically people would come down one, the whole long row, and they'd look at these two tables and they'd take a diagonal to somebody beyond us. So I spent the time, if I couldn't convince the people to look at our table, I spent the time trying to get the people from the Homophile Society to join the promenaders.
Ah.
Well, you know, I don't care.
Yeah. We work better when we're all working together.
Yes. But that was part of my acceptance speech for the Golden Boot.
Excellent. And you got a gift too, huh?
Yes. It is a silver necklace.
Oh.
That represents the Navajo gods, which is called the Rainbow Collection.
Oh, perfect.
And periodically you'll see, you know, if at a big dance, if I'm wearing a silver necklace that has different figures on it,
mm-hmm.
that's it.
I see. Nice.
And I have dangles, you know, they give you a dangle to put on your badge, and I have dangles on several of my badges that have a little golden boot on it. The trouble is now explaining it, because it's like, well, you know, I got it because I'm important. No, I got it because I was working for the activity, and
yeah.
Sometimes it feels pretentious to explain it.
They never really had a... you've seen the Golden Boot plaque that goes to the winner each year, and they
at convention.
Keep it on there, and there's a big Golden Boot, and then you know you just names in little brass plates underneath it, and right after the Betsy won the award, the national convention was in San Antonio.
Yeah.
So she got the award in like April. We were in San Antonio in June. And we're in one of these gift shops next to the Alamo, and they had this whole supply of golden boots. I said, oh, I got to take advantage of this. So we bought the one big one, and there's a really good trophy and awards shop right near us, and we had it made up, and we gave it to them, and now that gets passed around. But it was just ironic that, you know, 3 months later, here I'm standing in this, basically, cheap souvenir shop.
the original Golden Boot, there was somebody's, and I don't know whose, cowboy boots. And one of them was gilded, and that was the Golden Boot. And the other one, I think, was used for the Honky Tonk Queen crown for a while.
Okay, that makes sense.
So, okay, move on to your other award here.
Yeah.
The Milestone.
Yep.
The Milestone is Caller Lab's highest award. It's also a service award for, you have to have done something that will stand the test of time, but was also new and innovative, and there's several other criteria. If you look on the Caller Lab website, I believe it's up there. There's five criteria you have to meet.
Oh.
And also on the Caller Lab website, I believe it has all the Milestone presentations.
Yeah.
So
basically, I was nominated, and I'm assuming that John Kaltenfaller did the nomination. He also did the presentation. And a lot of times, whoever, you have to fill out a form to do the presentation, to do the nomination, and it goes to the executive committee, and they will review it and vote on whether or not you meet the criteria, and they will award you a milestone.
What year was that, Betsy?
Good question.
About what year was that, Betsy?
Hang on, I got a plaque here. It says so. 2006.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
2006.
And of course, not all the applications are approved.
Of course.
And the milestone is not awarded necessarily, you know, every year.
Sometimes there are two, sometimes there are none.
There hasn't been one for a few years, I don't think.
Didn't the Japanese guy get one?
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
That was incredible.
Yes.
What was his name? Was that...
The name was not Pratt.
The legendary Japanese caller who got the milestone. And
last year.
they, without, unbeknownst to him, they flew his wife in for the presentation.
Oh, nice. And she doesn't speak English, so she traveled on her own.
It was an incredible moment.
And Masaru when he saw her, Wada. It was just awesome.
Masaru Wada.
Yeah, that's it, Masaru.
So,
Masaru Wada. Yeah, and she came in, and he was just, he was speechless.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I think, you know, talking with John, because, of course, he gathered a lot of information for me, and I knew, but I had to keep it secret almost a year. I knew she was getting the award. But it was more for a whole body of work as opposed to
one particular
thing. There was, you know, sure. The fact that she was a founding member of the Callers Council of New Jersey, the fact that she was a charter member of the Square Dance Council of New Jersey, the fact that
the videos.
She had done these videos that we put out that were the first ones that were not home movies.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we, you know, spent the time and the money and hired directors and producers and makeup artists and lighting and all that sort of thing without any real hope of making any money on the darn things.
Right.
By the way, that came true.
Yes, but I got a taste of real fame. You know, we did mostly make our money back.
We got our money back, which was cool. And, you know, the fact that, you know, she'd been a member of Caller Lab for since like 1976, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, like some of the others, it just like her national conventions, never missed a meeting. I just figured it was something that she was supposed to do.
Yeah.
You want to say something?
Yeah. Also, John Kaltenfeller was the chairman of the Caller Training Committee, and I had done a lot of work on projects for Caller Training Committee, and he wanted to make sure that was recognized.
And she had some firsts along the way. She was the first American woman elected to the Board of Governors. She was the first American woman to become an accredited caller coach.
Canadians were ahead of me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not a big deal.
Yeah, I think Gloria Roth was the first woman to be an
accredited caller coach.
She was like one of the originals. And was it OSA?
I think Orpheason
was from Canada. She was on the board. I think OSA Matthews was California, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Say Orpheason.
Yeah, Orpheason was on the board, I believe, before me. And when I wanted to go on the board, I felt that, you know, the female callers were basically the female callers were becoming a bigger caller lab and needed representation on the board.
Mm-hmm.
And were you the first chairman of the Women in Calling Committee when it was first formed?
Yeah.
So it was like for some people have gotten milestones for kind of single events and things they've done, and I think Betsy's was more for a whole body of work, kind of like at the Oscars, like a lifetime achievement thing, as opposed to for one particular film.
Yeah, that makes sense. Wonderful.
So, and all I ever get an award for is longevity.
That's not a bad thing.
I showed up. Yeah. Okay, you've done this for 30 years. Here's a statue. Actually, the one I like is my little trophy for winning the golf tournament before the National Square Dance Convention in Charlotte.
So, that's worth something.
Yeah. The Charlotte, whenever they have a national, they always have a golf tournament beforehand. And the four of us, we were just paired randomly by the committee, and we ended up winning that initial tournament. We were second the next time, but we was robbed. They handicapped it kind of screwy. Plus, I had Jerry Jestin on my team, so I had a handicap right there. So.
There you go. Some great information from Roy and Betsy. Really liked hearing about a lot of the history and then also what they're doing moving forward. So what do you have coming up this weekend, Barb?
This weekend, we're looking forward to Ben Rubright coming to the Chicagoland area, and so I'm hoping to get a little dancing in with him. And also my Square Dance Tuesday night workshop is picking up, so we're looking forward to seeing our friends that we haven't seen for a while. How about you, Dale?
Well, Ben Rubright makes me a little jealous that I won't be in town. I, however, will be going to Philadelphia to dance to Ann Uhlocker.
Ah, very good.
Yep, and We're going up on Saturday. The whole weekend is Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We're going up on Saturday in Philadelphia, being only an hour and a half away. There's a large group of square dancers who also play board games. And so there's actually a room set aside at the weekend where when we're not dancing or as part of an after party, we will pull out board games. And
so you'll come home exhausted this weekend, huh?
I will probably come home exhausted and very happy.
How big a dance group how many dancers do you think will be there?
I would guess 100 to 120.
Oh.
Yeah. And one final thought I have is I would like to say a happy golden birthday to my daughter Callie, who is 19, just turned 19 on the 19th.
Yay. Happy birthday, Callie.
Yep. Very, very exciting. Very, very happy. She is such a beautiful young woman and really taking the bull by the horns and her life and really doing what she wants to do the way she wants to do. And I'm very proud of her.
Great. Very nice.
Again, a big thanks to our guests, Roy and Betsy Gott.
This is Barb Jarvis from Wheeling, Illinois. Goodbye, Dale. Have a good week, everyone.
And Dale Hodge from Columbia, Maryland. Ciao, Barb. Happy dancing. See you on the dance floor. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.